We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Oh,
oh, oh. Yeah. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Baby. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master at Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Baby. We took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did you be at when they said it?
Back in and rolling on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now in San Antonio, I think fresh off the Riverwalk last night, is Rob Fisher, the Fish Nation on X. He's Memphis Grizzlies sideline and pre- and post-game host for the Grizzlies on Bally. He also is a contributor to Grind City Media. Rob, what's happening?
Not much, man. Beautiful, beautiful day here in San Antonio. Just getting ready for the Grizz and the Spurs, the team that the Grizzlies absolutely own.
Really, yeah. I will say, yeah, they own them, but Victor Wembanyama, that's always going to be a problem, right? Like, that's always going to be an issue.
Yeah, he is. He's something special, and it's incredible. I mean, I continue to say this about the Spurs just because it's such an incredible number. The Grizzlies have won 12 straight against the Spurs. 12,
pretty good.
I mean, this is against the team that I think previously had won like 23 straight against the Grizzlies. And after the Grizzlies won as an 8 seed against the Spurs, Greg Popovich never let them lose again to the Grizzlies. But all of a sudden now the Grizzlies having a nice little run against the Spurs. But Victor Wembanyama, he is something special. And he just continues to get better. You know, we've seen him twice already this season. I'm looking forward to seeing him again tonight because he's fun to watch. He's a unicorn. I've never seen a guy where I've been in awe just seeing his size.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and I mean, being around the NBA now for 20 years, you know, there are only two guys that I have been in awe of their size. One was LeBron James, and because I'll never forget, the Grizzlies were playing Cleveland when LeBron first came up, and LeBron's going for a triple-double, and the Grizzlies are guarding him with Adonal Foyle. Now, Adonal Foyle was the all-time, at the time, he was the all-time leading shot blocker in college basketball history.
Right.
So Adonal Foyle's got a little bit of size. And LeBron James is posting him up and just went to school on him like he was just a little child.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And that was the first time that you kind of got a grasp of LeBron's enormity of you know, his size for a guy who can, you know, play like a guard. It was incredible to watch. And then the other one, Shaquille O'Neal, I'll never forget, he was sitting at the scorer's table, and he was fixing, like, his shorts, you know, the tights underneath
right.
his shorts. And he put his leg up on the scorer's table, and as he's fixing those tights, I was like, my God. I mean, that thigh was just like nothing I had ever seen before. And Victor Wembanyama is the same sort of deal. I mean, the first time seeing him, you watch him on TV and he looks big and all, But the first time seeing him and coming out of the media room and looking and watching him warm up, and with those pants on, you know, and the Spurs had these like striped pants, and so he looked like a clown from a right. from a circus show, because he looks like he's on stilts. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember Brother Knight and I came out of the media room and we were just looking at him and we looked at each other and we're like, my God,
yep.
he is something else. And then to be able to have that sort of guard skill set that he has behind it, it's incredible to watch. He's gotten better as the year goes on. And he's averaging 21 and 10 as a rookie. The block shots are incredible. The matchups with Chet Holmgren have been incredible to watch. He's something special. I know I've been asked this before about, you know, Chet and him and who's the rookie of the year. And I think it was close for a long time, but I think Wemby is surpassed him by far as the season's gone on.
Yeah, 21 points per game, about 10.5 rebounds per game, 3.5 blocks per game. Are you like me where you have resigned yourself to the fact that the Spurs will be back up here soon? They'll be winning ball games? Yes. Because it just feels like there's just no way this guy is going to let them be a consistent loser. Like, he will them to wins here in the future. It's just crazy to see his skill set, the pull-up threes. And this is all with, I think, most of the year he's been on a minutes restriction, and it feels like Greg Popovich is not, at least for the first half of the season, was really not trying to make him the center of attention. He was not making him a focal point. He wasn't drawing a whole bunch up for him. But he's doing all that right. with, you know, the situation that the Spurs are putting him into, where they're trying to sort of let this be a slow burn, let this be a learning year.
Almost at half speed.
Right.
Which is incredible because of what he can do. Yeah, I expect he's going to. I mean, you always hear it, you know, when guys, what are they going to be when they actually learn how to play the game?
Right.
And I think in his case, he's a guy that had a pretty good idea of how to play the game before getting into the NBA. But I think there's still so much more growth ahead for him, and you start putting players around him. I don't think the Spurs are really that far from being the team that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think a couple free agencies, a couple more drafts, and they'll be able to have a team that to put something around him that could be pretty special. And yeah, I don't think it's going to be long before the Spurs are up near the top, because he's a different type of guy, and a guy that is going to, you know, lead this team for a long time, and he's going to be a guy who's going to continue to get better, and he's going to be surrounded by better players. And when he's surrounded by better players, I mean, I think this team is, they got to be very excited about the future of this organization.
100%. And they say they just lucked into it, man. It's just, especially like when it comes to foreign prospects, for him to land with Pop, it is the best landing spot he could land in. I mean, just looking at what he's done. I mean, Manu, Tony Parker, like Boris Diaw, all those guys. It's unbelievable to see. Now, I will say this. One thing Grizzlies fans should be rooting for is that Raptors pick stays inside the top six, because they could end up, the Spurs, if it gets outside of that top six, with a second top 10 pick. Because right now I think they're third from the bottom. If they end up getting that pick, they could have two top 10 picks to go alongside of Victor Wembanyama. And I know people will say, you know, the NBA draft's not as good this year, this draft class isn't great, but if you have two top 10 picks, the chances are one of them will be a pretty solid difference maker, regardless of what that draft class looks like.
People got to remember that about the draft. There are going to be all-stars out of the draft.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are going to be guys. There's going to be a rookie of the year. There are going to be all-stars. It's just a matter of finding the right guys. And you're right. If you've got two of them, well, your chances are better that you're going to get one of them.
Right.
So I think that, it would just be the Spurs' luck to be able to just luck into two of them. Why not? After lucking into Wembanyama, now luck into two first-round picks, and then luck yourself right back into the one of being a contender in the Western Conference. That's what's crazy, though. I mean, you look at teams like the Grizzlies, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, you know, how quickly the Grizzlies went from out of the playoffs to one of the top seeds in the Western Conference. Minnesota, mm-hmm. how quickly they went from 8-10 up to 1-2. Right. Oklahoma City, 10 up to 1-2. Why not San Antonio? Why couldn't they do it quickly? We've seen a lot of teams in the West that have been able to make that jump quickly.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I mean, it's just it's the truth of the matter, and especially when you have a guy like Victor Wembanyama, it's going to be unbelievable to see.
Yeah.
And I've resigned myself also to the fact he's going to win some MVPs by the time his career is over, barring injury, of course. That's the given. Talking with Rob Fisher at the Fish Nation on X. Now, the Grizzlies do have a rookie of their own that is climbing up that ladder, if you will. I think he may end up on an all-rookie team by the end of the year if he keeps this up. But G.G. Jackson, man, what can you tell me about him? It's ridiculous. I think there's been some holdouts on, you know, trying to crown him and say, oh, he's going to be part of this rotation going into next year, because we never thought he'd come along this fast. But I think I'm right there at this point. This is a seventh, eighth, ninth guy off the bench that can be a absolute flamethrower and just fill it up. Now, I understand right now he's getting a lot more shots and the volume is up because of all the injuries. And next year it'll be a different role completely, and we'll see if the shooting can continue going into next year. But I like my chances with G.G. Jackson as a solid bench contributor for this team next year.
I'm with you 100%. And I think it's one of the great silver linings of this team, this season, has been to be able to find guys. You know, Vince Williams Jr. is one of those guys that I think we can pencil him in as one of your top seven guys, you know, going into next season. And I think G.G. Jackson is another one that you can pencil him in as one of your top seven, eight guys going into next season. I was really interested because, you know, Gabe, you always have games where when the Grizzlies are going through these lineups and having the number of players and the number of different lineups that they've had, you always have to remember, well, a team is going to score 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
So guys are going to have to score. So how many of these points are real? How many of them are just kind of empty points? You know, so what sort of impact is he making? And I think now you look at the last few games. I mean, let's remember, he kept coming off the bench and was putting up big numbers off the bench. And that's great. But now that he's been put in the starting lineup, he's continued to do it. And now in these last three games, he's had NBA guys around him in the starting lineup.
Yep.
Against Oklahoma City, he had Santi, Jaren, Dez, and Luke Kennard all around him. He scores 19. In the next game, same starting lineup, he scores 22. The next game, same starting lineup, he scores 35. So he's finding opportunities to make an impact even with these other guys on the floor, even with having part of your starting lineup. I mean, heck, if the Grizzlies were 100% healthy right now, maybe Santi, I guess Santi and Conchar would be out of the lineup, probably. And you'd mm-hmm. have Ja and Marcus in there, I guess. But let's say you just kept G.G. in there. I mean, you know, for him to be able to score those type of points, I think has been very impressive to do it with the starters that he's been in there with. And then you add the rebounding numbers. You know, what can you do to give to the team? What can you do to make an impact on the team if you're not scoring? If you're not getting the amount of shots that you've gotten previously, what can you still do? And he's doing other things. I mean, in these three games since Dez has come back, he had 14 shots, 13 shots, 19 shots. Mm-hmm. You know, those are still a lot of shots, but they're not the amount of shots that he had been getting, yet he's still producing the numbers. He's still getting to the free throw line. He's still scoring that way. He's getting assists. He's getting rebounds. I mean, he's doing it all. And, I mean, that's been the most impressive thing to me is now in this last week, how is he going to do when he kind of goes down the totem pole a little bit as far as, you know, who's the scorer that's on the floor? And he's still finding ways to score. So he's been unbelievable, and I'm so excited. And people ask me, you know, what's the ceiling for him? I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to.
He's 19. He's the youngest player. He was born in 2004, which still bothers me. Like, right. That's just insane to me.
I, I mean, I'd love to say, well, the ceiling is multiple All-Stars at MVP.
Right.
I don't know what his ceiling is, but I do know this: at 19 years old, he's a pretty special talent, and to be able to rush him through the process this year, like the Grizzlies have had to do, has been a blessing. I mean, a blessing in disguise that they've had to do this, because I mean, there's no way you don't go into next season thinking Gigi's one of your top players off the bench.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's a lot of my coworkers here at 92.9 that didn't want to see Desmond Bane come back. They're sort of worried about the injury concerns. They want to, you know, wait until next year. Don't risk him getting injured. Now, I do think, like, he's been getting less minutes, and if there is an injury concern, if he rolls his ankle, I doubt that they'll throw him back out there for the rest of the year. But I always contended bringing Desmond Bane back alongside Vince Williams Jr. and Gigi Jackson, like, those reps mean something. In your opinion, like, how much do those reps mean getting those young guys alongside a more sort of normal looking lineup, getting some of the mainstays and Jaren and Dez? Obviously Ja's not going to come back, but Jaren and Dez, how much do the reps mean for those young guys to actually play alongside those guys?
I think they're huge. I for a couple of reasons. One, what I was saying before, you know, how does your game change? How do you adapt to not being the number one? I mean, hell, Gigi Jackson, less than 2 weeks ago against Oklahoma City, there were five guys on the floor where Gigi Jackson was the veteran leader.
Right.
The veteran leader at 19 years old in his rookie season. I mean, he was playing with two-way guys and two 10-day guys. Of course he's going to score a lot of points. Of course he's going to get the opportunities. But like I said, to play with Dez and Jaren out on the floor, and Luke Kennard, to play with, you know, three bona fide NBA guys, you know, how is his role going to change? How is he going to adapt to not having as many opportunities? So I think it was very important. I think it's very important that Desmond Bane against Sacramento threw the ball to Gigi Jackson for the game-winning shot.
Right.
And Gigi missed. But I think that's a huge learning experience for Gigi, because after the game, you know, Gigi is the first to be upset about mistakes that he makes. And after the game, Gigi's telling everybody, my bad, I missed the shot. And Desmond Bane said, yo, dude, you just be ready for it again, because it's coming to you next time, too. And so I think that's a huge learning experience. And so, yeah, I think I'm happy Dez played, not just selfishly because I wanted to see him play, but I think Dez personally just needed some reps. I mean, think about going through 2 months of rehab, which is just a pain
in
the ass.
It's brutal.
And you're going through that, and then to be shut down, and you'd have to go 8 months without playing basketball. I mean, that sucks.
Yep.
At least you were able to reward him because he wanted to play. So you're rewarding him by playing. Same thing with Brandon Clark. Yeah, we could sit here and say, boy, you just don't want him to get hurt again. Well, yeah, we could handle everything with kids' gloves and be scared about injuries. But, I mean, Brandon wants to play. He's gone through this process for a year now. So and now you're going to shut him down for another 6 months? No. Let's give him the chance to play and let him get out there. Let him get the taste of it. Let him get on the floor and then let Brandon and Desmond and Jaren play together. And then let's integrate Gigi into that group as well and see where he stands there. So I think it's only a positive by letting these guys play. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about.
Yeah, and Brandon Clark, I think it would provide a lot of clarity and understanding for what he's going to be off that Achilles injury. He's looked good in some of the videos, sure, you see, but the videos don't tell the whole story. Now, I heard hint, hint, wink, wink, next Wednesday against the Lakers is a potential return game for him. Can you elaborate on that?
That is what everybody is telling
me.
And,
all right.
And Michael Wallace came on our pregame show and pretty much said everything but get your tickets now.
Right.
For that game. So I'm kind of counting on it. That's kind of my plan, that he's going to be back for the Lakers game. And so that's going to be great. I mean, to have a lineup that's got, you know, four NBA guys and then Gigi. That's going to be exciting.
I mean, compared to where we've been, it's unreal. It's unreal to see guys return. Like, it's just, it's kind of funny. You see Desmond Bane return and, like, Brandon Clark return, and it's just like, it's such a highlight at this point based on the way the season has gone.
Like, no doubt about it. I mean, 42 different lineups, and it's like, well, when Brandon comes back, that's going to be 43.
Has it been 29 players, too? Is that what the number's at now?
And Brandon will be 30 when he comes back. So, it's insane, man. And it's just you like to have some semblance of normalcy. And I think we've had that the last couple of games, and it's been fun to watch. I mean, three really good games. I mean, the Oklahoma City game wasn't a bad game either. They've all been losses, but, I mean, that's kind of how the season's gone. But I think a lot of positives have come out of it, and it's been great to see Dez back in the lineup, and it's been great to see what Jaron can do with Dez back in the lineup, and it's been great to see what Gigi's done with Dez and Jaron back in the lineup. And so I think a lot of there have been a lot of positives these last few games. It gets you even more excited towards next year. And, you know, that's another thing that's kind of gotten you through this season is, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yep.
Where, as you know, a few years ago when you were playing DeLon Wright and all those guys at the end of the season, none of them were going to be a part of the organization, and we were just playing out the string, and there wasn't a light at the end of the tunnel other than, God, I hope we get somebody good in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
This one, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, so it makes it a little more exciting.
Yeah, did you catch any of that Kentucky-Oakland game last night?
I did.
Oh, gosh. Jack Golke is a legend for that. How about that? The stat that gets me about him is he has attempted 354 field goals. 346 of them are from the three-point line. It's nuts.
That's unbelievable. That is an incredible statistic.
Yeah, but Cal.
So, yeah, it was
struggling.
Cal 1-4, 1-4 in his last five tournament games.
And it's St. Peter's and it's Oakland. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's – like, he lost to Kansas State last year in the round of 32, and Kansas State went on a run, and, like, okay, that was a really good team. But Oakland and St. Peter's are the other losses that you're looking at. It's just – I don't know what it is. I think it just, you know, comes down to he's got a bunch of young guys every single year, and he always uses it as an excuse. But when they get into those tournament settings and, you know, it gets real tough and they see some adversity, they don't really respond as well as the older guys that they're playing against.
Well, it's a lot like the Penny situation, too. I mean, you're just turning over your whole roster every year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you turn your whole roster over every year, you have to hope that guys can play together, get along together, and, you know, like each other. And if they don't, you're going to lose. I mean, that's going to be the bottom line. So you got to hope that all those things come true with the group that you have. And if not this year, then maybe next year. If not that year, maybe the following year. Because that's how it's going to be year in and year out. Because there's so much turnover in college basketball that it just makes it very difficult to find a group that that gels and can coexist. And Kentucky, they don't do it. And I mean, Cal said the same things after the game last night that you'd expect him to say. And if you're a Kentucky fan, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. They seem out on him, right? Like, they're just out. But it's like, at the same time, he has a $33 million buyout that only lowers to $27 million next year. And they gave him that sort of lifetime contract. So it's like, you can't do anything about it. You just can't if you're a Kentucky fan. But those message boards are probably, I don't know, they might be overloaded at this point. I don't know if you can even get on the Kentucky message boards at this point.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.